Comedy's the winner.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. All right, you're on the debrief with Dave O'Neill, and I've got an absolute comedy legend in the car.
Hello.
Tony Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
And I've got to reverse out of this car park.
Okay. We'll just get the business
out of the way. The logistics out of the way.
But, I always thought with this podcast, it would be great if you could do one episode with someone that you don't get on with and just have it be long periods of awkward silence. And then go for 25 minutes and then it just ends with the comedian going, he just hears fine. Yeah.
The only problem is I get on with most comedians.
You do.
I'm one of those sort of... I do suffer fools. I'm not... You know, this. Anyway, I do get on with most people.
And you are one of the people who really knows where all the bodies are buried, are you not?
I've got a lot of gossip. Yeah, I know a lot of stuff.
I remember getting...
Oh, my God, look at that small van.
There's a tiny van with Cooter Brothers written on it.
Retail, and it's very similar to the van that was driven in Bad Eggs.
Oh, yeah,
isn't it? The Bongo van.
That is
Bongo van.
That image in that film was based on something I really saw on High Street in Pran one day. That's a tiny van, and it had the two fattest cops I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Squeezed in, and children were openly laughing at them as they drove up the street.
We talked about that because I had Lawrence Mooney on this podcast, and we talked about Bad Eggs, because he was, of course,
he was in that.
Yeah, that's right. I've forgotten,
right.
too.
Him
I've forgotten
and
too.
Peter Rosethorne played radio announcers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Within a year, both of them had jobs as radio announcers.
Radio gigs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you've been mentioned a few times on this podcast.
Have I?
Well, I was talking to Tommy Dasilo, and...
right.
Because he used to come and see me do... And me and Hughesy do comedy when he was at school.
Right.
And his dad used to bring him along, because him and his dad used to listen to us on Nova when he'd be driven to school by his dad.
Right.
And I said, that's really funny, because now I occasionally drive my teenage son to school.
Yeah.
And he listens to the radio. And Tommy said, who's his favourite? I said, Tony Martin.
Really?
Yeah, on Friday, because you're in Melbourne, you're on Nova on Fridays.
Well, that's very kind, but surely he wouldn't understand any of my...
Your references.
Ancient references from the 80s. I mean, thank God Chrissy Swan knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's got older sisters. Yeah, she knows. But no, he remembers your stories, and he comes home and tells them to his brother and sister. And his favourite one was the Get Shorty, Where's Shorty? Which is the name of your cat, is it?
That's right. We have a cat called Shorty because he only has half a tail. And I was out calling him one day. I was going, Shorty, Shorty. And a dwarf walked past. Yeah. Not quite a dwarf, slightly higher than a dwarf.
Yeah, but like still 4 foot, a small person.
That's right. And I'm going, Shorty, Shorty. And he's just looking at me. And, of course, there's no cat anywhere to be seen. That's what I would call a classic Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, yeah, you have a few of those moments, don't you?
And as I'm getting older, let's face it, I'm starting to look more and more like Larry David.
Yes.
The hair's going. I'm slowly turning into him. And just every week something will happen to me and I just hear that...
Dun, 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 dun. Have you been watching the new series?
I'm going to wait till it's all ready to go. And
the first one is a cracker. Oh, it's one of my favourite shows. I absolutely love it.
I watched it all again from the beginning.
And
it was
still good.
Still good, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the side characters are so good too, like Susie and Jeff and JB Smooth, the black guy.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic.
I remember I had a weird situation where...
You met anyone from that show?
I'm trying to think. Have I met anyone?
I don't reckon I've met... JB Smooth toured. I remember that, but I...
No. Never met.
No, I've never met anyone from that show.
No one. Maybe I'm sure I would have met someone who'd been a guest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, Steve Coogan was in one. I met Steve Coogan.
And in this new series, Bob Fossil, which is...
Bob Fossil?
You know, he's from Mighty Boosh.
Oh, right.
What's his name?
I thought you were talking about Bob Fosse for a second.
Bob Fossil, which is... he's a great American... comedian, actor guy,
right.
He used to come to the comedy festival.
Rich
Fulcher.
Fulcher.
Yeah, and he used to do shows about maths.
And he did Snuffbox with Matt Berry.
He's in an episode, so I've met him.
I had an interesting situation happen in 2004. Me and the ex-wife, Annie Maven, you know Annie.
She works in TV, yeah.
She certainly does. And we were in New York, and... We somehow got tickets to the producers.
Oh, wow.
And it was when Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick had gone back for 6 weeks to do it. So we had this weird thing where we saw the producers on a Wednesday night, and then on the Sunday night on HBO, we saw the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the last episode of Series 4, where he's in the producers.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you remember, it has a brilliant ending, and it was the last thing that Anne Bancroft ever did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Him and Mel Brooks.
Across the road, and you realise the plot. Because all the way through that series, you're going, why is Mel Brooks wanting to cast Larry David in the producers? He's going to be terrible. And of course, the punchline was that they're across the road, exactly like in the original producers. Yes. They wanted to be a failure.
For tax reasons.
And so Mel Brooks is saying to Anne Bancroft, this is great. Larry David will fuck up the producers. It'll kill it. And we won't have to go to bumfuck Arkansas and say, this is the best cast we've ever seen. So that's on the Sunday night.
Yeah, right.
And then we fly back to Australia like a couple of days later. And then the first day we're back in Australia, we turn on the Channel 9 News and there's Mel Brooks on stage in Melbourne with Bert Newton, and he's going, this is the best cast I've ever... I'm taking Bert back to back to America. I'm going to put him in the movie.
I was there that night. I went to the opening of the producers in Melbourne.
And it was exactly...
Yeah, and he came out and said that.
It was exactly what
exactly
it was,
like that, yeah.
The episode.
Bert was pretty funny, though. Bert was good.
That's to be fair to Bert. He was good.
Bert, I'm sure you've had stuff to do with Bert.
Well, I had... You know, I don't know whether you would be aware, Dave, but I was on 20 to 1 for 8 years.
You did 20 to 1?
I did 20 to 1 as a deal to get Bert Newton to co-host Get This. So Bert, we wanted Bert because Ed was overseas doing, I don't know.
Something. One of his movies.
The World Cup or something.
Okay, yeah. Going to that. Love soccer.
And so I had to have co-hosts without Ed. And so I said, Bert, will you come and do it? And he said, I'll do it in return. If you do 20 to 1, I'll come in and do Get This. So I sat in a chair for an hour and 10 minutes, and they got 8 years worth of business out of it.
I've done 20 to 1. It's the worst experience ever.
What I love is they just ask you, they'll just take your answers for one thing, and then it'll be
referenced to
something else.
They got me to talk about Mariah Carey. I'm like, I know who she is, but I'm not aware of her music. And he goes, okay, just read after me. Mariah Carey's first album was a triumph. And so they've got me on as a Mariah Carey expert. Mariah Carey's first album was a triumph.
Well, no, but what happened with...
Weird.
But at least you're talking about Mariah Carey. Yeah. I was watching and there'd be things like, they'd be talking about We Are The World, and I'd be going, oh, that was incredible. And I'm going, I was talking about Naked Gun or something. They've just taken my answer and made it about something else. But anyway, so that was the payoff. To get Bert to come on. And what I remember...
What, just one show did he host on Get This?
He just came in and did one show, but he was brilliant because we got him to...
Oh, he's an old radio guy.
We got him to... We had a theory that anything sounded good if Bert advertised it. So we had him...
Yeah.
We got really offensive products and got him to do the voiceover for them. So he's going, the young boys at Al-Qaeda are recruiting you. So he was doing stuff like that. But I remember he came in and I'd never seen Bert without the toupee on.
Oh, yeah, it's... bit weird,
so he came in, he's wearing a shell suit, and it's sort of he's got it zipped down a bit, and he's got some gold jewelry, and he's got sunnies on, and he's bald head. He looked like a gangster, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Now, I had an experience with him once. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before, but I'll tell it again. I was doing radio, and they have those screenings of movies.
Yes.
And there was a theatrette in West Melbourne. You would have gone there, theatrette. I can't remember what it
UIP.
Was. UIP. Yes, UIP. And so everyone's packed in there. There's all the guys from Hey Hey. There's the people from the panel, Neil Mitchell, all these big media guns, because Matt Damon was coming out.
Right.
And so it was the first Bourne identity. And anyway, the curtain opens, like the show's going to start, and Bert walks in and he goes, we'll be showing Fatty Finn first, and then the Bourne identity. He gets a laugh, and then there was a seat next to me and Rove, right? And so he comes up the back, and he sits next to me and Rove, and he's, oh, hello, David, and hello, Rove. And the movie starts, and there's this rustling, and Bert's rustling. He's got, like, a gym bag.
Yes.
And I'm like, what the fuck's he doing? And he holds this, like, I thought it was a thermos.
Right.
Like, you know, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. Then I hear a pop. He's holding a champagne bottle.
Oh, no.
And he's got, like, 3 polystyrene cups. He goes, hold them, David, hold them, hold them. And he pours it, and he goes, that's for you. That's for Rove, and fuck the rest of them. So I'm giving it to Rove. I'm like, he goes, I don't want to drink. I'm like, mate, it's Birch. You got to drink it, mate. Yeah. You can't not drink Birch champagne.
But he does. I once went to a funeral that Bert was speaking at.
Oh, really?
It was a funeral for Myrtle Woods, who, would you remember who that is? She was the Granny Davis on the old...
Yep.
On the Graham Kennedy show. And she played my grandmother on The Late Show.
Oh, wow.
And she died, I think she was 101. And so her funeral was like, you know that film Amazon Women on the Moon where they have a funeral that's like a celebrity roast?
Oh, yeah,
right.
It
was exactly like that. Like Phil Brady got up, did some gags, and then Pete Smith got up and did some gags. And then Bert, interestingly, wasn't in the crowd. I'm saying crowd, it's a funeral.
Yeah, in the audience, yeah.
In the audience, and he's out in the car. And he doesn't come in until someone gives him a cue. And then he comes in.
What?
And he's doing this
old school showbiz.
But he's doing this material. And like, he's going, you know, one of Myrtle's favourite stories. And it was just like an old joke. Yeah. And you're going, I bet that's not. It had nothing to do with Myrtle. I'm going, I bet that's not. And I'm saying to Pete, does he do that gag at every funeral? Pete, of course, will not give it.
Not give out the thing.
No.
Do you still speak to Pete Smith?
I see Pete Smith all the time. We have lunch probably every month. I have Christmas Day at Pete Smith's house.
Oh, wow.
Or at his daughter's house.
He's such a nice guy. He spoke at my mum and dad's bowls club.
Right. Well, it's like I'm in his family because all of my family are in New Zealand.
Yeah,
so it's been a tradition for, I reckon, maybe 20, coming up to 30 years that I have every Christmas Day. Me and Phil Brady are at the orphans table down the end of...
the little card table.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's so funny.
But Pete is great. I once went to... I'm not sure how old Pete is, but he would be in his 70s.
I think he's 70s by now.
He's in his 70s, but I remember a few years ago going to his 70th birthday party at his house. And you know, Pete's dad is turning 103 this year.
Oh, my God.
Still plays golf. Still really sharp. He's only about... Probably when he was 98, he showed me how to fix the preferences on my email.
Oh, really?
Okay, he's really sharp. And but Pete's dad is, so at the 70th, Pete's family had worked out a vaudeville routine. And it was Pete's dad, Pete, Pete's son, and Pete's grandson. So it was four generations of Smiths did some kind of old Abbott and Costello routine.
Wow.
No one filmed it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Has Pete Smith's kids gone to showbiz or?
No. They're all, they've got always in different crazy occupations. Like I remember one of Pete's sons said to me, I'm sure he's not doing this anymore, but he said, I run all the 1800 numbers, and he goes, not the sex ones. He was doing like the horoscope.
Yeah. They were big for a while.
Yeah, and that's
kind of showbiz, though.
It is.
That's sort of on the fringes of show business.
And I'm going, surely you've got Pete to do.
Yeah.
To do a voice, because of course everyone wants Pete to do their answering machine message. And
oh God,
I've got this podcast I'm doing of these shows we did at the Fringe, this thing called Childproof. So
yes, your
Pete.
Sitcom. That's your sitcom. Right.
Well, I couldn't get the sitcom made, so we did it live on stage at the Fringe, and then we recorded it all.
Are they coming out soon?
Yeah, but we're adding, because Matty D, Matt Dow, the Pots and Pans, he's adding music and sound effects, because all we did, we recorded the audience and we recorded our voices.
Yeah,
there were no live sound effects, because, otherwise you can't edit it. So we're adding, it's turning into,
a massive production.
Dark Side of the Moon.
And how did it go?
It went pretty good. I have to say, the first one, because what we wanted to do was present it, rather than rewrite it as a radio play, we wanted to do
a TV script
so that you could imagine what the show would have looked like.
Yeah.
And of course, I wanted to start the series very visually.
Of course.
So there's just the first episode has long chunks of narration.
And who did the narration?
We got Jay Mueller,
The American guy.
From Triple M.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Game Changers,
yeah.
The Hot Breakfast.
Yeah, that guy.
He is fantastic.
Got a great voice.
And all the ladies fell in love with him too, he's a heartthrob. and he can do, you know, you just want him to do his lines.
Because you wrote the 6 episodes with your partner.
With Serena Rao.
Yeah, and you pitched it, and the thing was, oh, but it's about people with no kids.
Yeah, and I think it was, look, and it's I have ridiculous. To say, it might be that it wasn't very good. I don't want to say
I know you always say that, but I'm sure.
I have to
I'm
say
I'm sure it's pretty good.
It's got a lot of good jokes in it. I'm not sure. It's one of those things where, had it been a TV show, you would have done more drafts. So.
Of course, but if you're not getting paid for
it. We're not getting paid. So
but you know what's interesting about Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
That's a show where Larry has no children, but in real life, he has kids.
That's right.
And so he must have actively chosen not to have children in that
actually,
show.
Actually, there is another podcast, not that I want people to stop listening to this one. There's a podcast out called Origins where a guy does a 5 or 6 episode run on how something was created.
Oh, really?
The first one is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I got to listen to that.
And they talk about that because in the Curb Your Enthusiasm pilot, you know, the 1 hour...
Yeah, yes.
He has kids. Larry has kids in that episode.
And but see, I'm guessing, but the reason you cut out the kids is because it just makes him even more selfish.
Exactly. Well, that's what that we were, you know, everyone who we pitched the show to said, but won't they be dislikable? Won't they be smug and full of... And you're going, yeah, well, what, you mean like...
Seinfeld?
Like Seinfeld, like Tony Hancock, you know, any kind
There's
of selfish...
There's a whole history of sitcoms without kids.
George Costanza, the selfish person. And it's not as if every episode ends with us going, aren't we great? Every episode ends with us being chased by an angry mob.
But also, I found... No, we're driving past the street. We'll keep going. I've found that when I put together a comedy night for my parents at the school, we have a fundraiser.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think you've done it, but you will be asked about it. Anyway, right. Beside that point, I always get...
Hang on, I have done that one, haven't I?
Oh, you've done one of them, actually. You
at
have.
At the school, yeah.
At the school, you have.
Yeah, it was great.
And they love... So we had you, we've had Celia Piccola... A single woman with no kids, and the parents absolutely love it because that's not talking about kids.
That's right.
And they go, "Oh no, that's great. We love it."
And also, it's
as if people like, as you said, what everyone who watched MASH serving the Korean War.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also
you know what? It's just another reason to say no.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse. Well, they go, "What are we going to say to him?" We'll just say, I don't know, Gary. No kids. All right, no kids.
But I think we were saying, okay, what they were going like, what are some of the storylines? And I'm going, well, you know how when you work in an office and you're the only person that doesn't have kids, you know, everyone is leaving at 3:30 and you end up doing someone else's job
for them.
So like in one episode, we have our character pretending to have a foster child.
Oh, yeah, great.
To reap the benefits in the workplace. And then, of course, you know, there's bring your child to work day. So she has to hire a child actor to play her. You know, and so that's fairly dislikable behaviour.
Yeah,
I think people were going,
funny.
Oh, that's kind of repellent. You know, it's going to be... Don't you find in... How many times do you find yourself in a meeting where the only question you hear is, but are they likable?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going, well, Alan Partridge, Basil Fulton.
Oh, so many.
Hank Kingsley, David Brent. Is likable really...
Not that important. Look at this, what I've stopped outside of. The Grace.
Stopped outside of Manamana. Our favourite restaurant.
The Manamana. We call it the Manamana restaurant in our house, and it's had a renovation.
Mamara is a Turkish restaurant in Chapel Street, Windsor.
Yeah.
Dave and I have been going there for... Since the 80s.
Yeah.
Years.
I've been there with you once. I went there with you once.
We're both fascinated by the fact that originally there was just... The decor was like travel agency posters for Turkey. But then for no reason, a big black and white picture of the
Three Stooges
at the back. Like, no one could ever explain what it was doing there. And in the 90s, I had to write an article for, you know, the Qantas magazine.
Yeah, it's
my favourite restaurant. So I just did the whole
thing.
You
did the Manamana.
About Mamara, how they've got the Three Stooges picture. And then they closed for renovations a couple of years ago. And so we were going there to get takeaway. And the guy, I think it's now
the son. It's the son of the guy, yeah.
And he's saying to me, and I go, oh, you're closing for renovations. You're not going to, and he didn't even let me finish this. He goes, mate, we're not going to touch the picture of the Stooges. And I got the feeling he had no idea who the Three Stooges were.
No.
He certainly couldn't explain how that picture got there. And then it closed for like a year. And now it's reopened. It's still it's beautiful.
Same food.
They have not changed the menu. That's been the genius move.
Yeah.
Because you know how often they'll change everything. Yes. It's exactly the same. And the Three Stooges picture is now pride of place in the centre of the restaurant. It's got a beautiful gold frame around it, like it's the Mona Lisa.
I know, because my wife actually asked them once. So what's with the Three Stooges? And they just like looked at her blankly, like, what?
No one can explain where it came from.
Must be the dad.
I guess.
Because that kid, the son who now runs it, was a kid, wasn't he, working there with the dad?
Yeah, that's right.
For years.
But it's good food.
Oh, beautiful Turkish food. Oh, and that end of Chapel Street, for people that don't live in Melbourne, has changed. It's very hipster now, Windsor.
It is,
yeah. It's actually quite good.
And hopefully it's not going to be ruined.
And this street, yeah, well.
We've now turned into Greville Street.
Oh, my God, and Greville Street's blocked off.
It's blocked off.
What are they doing here? This used to be hip and happening, didn't it, in the 80s?
It did. There was a venue here called the Continental, which was a great music venue.
Is there actually a detour? Or
yeah,
just
you can go around the left here, I think.
Okay, right.
We'll be right.
The Continental was great.
And just before it closed...
Didn't it do comedy there?
It started to do comedy.
I did a gig there.
Judith Lucy did a brilliant show called Colour Me Judith there.
I supported her.
The one where she burst out of a coffin at the start of the show because her dad had just died.
Right.
And then Mick Molloy actually did a show called Banging On 3 weeks before it closed. He was the last comedy show to play the Continental.
Wow.
But it was, you know, I remember that was the kind of venue you would go to see... like Jonathan Richmond or
yes.
someone like someone who wasn't quite big enough to play the corner.
It's great. I saw the Go-Betweens there when they reformed.
Yeah, Dave Graney would often be on there.
It was a great venue. Now it's a nightclub, I think. I think Nick Jenoffel's got a permanent spot at the bar.
That's really?
Nicky G, mate.
I see it's Wogs in work now.
Yeah.
They've got jobs.
They've got jobs, mate. They've got
there?
Jobs.
Is Vince Colosimo back?
I think he... I don't know.
Vince Colosimo needs a leg up. I've been saying this on my spots on Nova because he's had a bit of trouble. You know,
he's in a series at the moment. He's in Sunshine.
Yeah.
On SBS.
And I was, people don't remember this, but I was Vince Colosimo's boyfriend in The Librarians.
Oh, that's right.
Because all through the series, he kept talking about his wife, Jean.
Yeah, right.
And Robin Butler was kind of in love with him, and then you met Jean, it was a guy, and that was me. So that was...
I
think I've talked about this maybe on a couple of other podcasts, but I always remember going on... I think I went on The Project around that time, and I went on a few radio shows, and people would go, hey, that was really good gay acting. How did you do gay acting? And I'm going, it was just me doing my normal voice in a beautiful suit... and with a suntan.
Yeah, yeah, right.
No one had ever seen me in a suit or with a suntan before. And it was like, wow, he's so good at playing gay. I'm going, it's just me.
Oh, man, yeah, no, he's good, Vince. He's a good comic actor, too.
He's a really good actor. I hope whatever he's in the middle of, I hope he fights his way out of it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's got a twin brother, Vince, who's a floor sander.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, and he occasionally helps him, yeah.
An identical twin brother.
Yeah, I remember being in a supermarket in North Fitzroy, and I heard these thongs, like flip, flap, flip, flap. And I see like an 8-year-old kid sitting in the shopping trolley, not even in the, too big for the kid seat,
right.
Drinking a can of Pepsi, thinking, oh, who's this bogan? And it was Vince pushing his kid
around. Right. Well, one of his greatest roles was, of course,
Chopper.
Neville Bartos.
Yeah.
And you go, it's time for a Neville Bartos movie.
Oh,
been, you know, Roger Rogerson came back in Blue Murder.
Yeah.
You know, Chopper's coming back.
Vince, what did we do Takeaway, which has been talked about on this, but around the same time as Bad Eggs.
Yes.
Again, as we talked about
same
in the podcast,
year.
People always, I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but people brought it up. And Vince was in that.
Yeah.
And he's like this. So when we're on set, there's always extras around. He goes, never talk to the extras, mate. Don't talk to them. Really? You don't know what the fuck you're getting into. I swear, do not talk to the extras. I'm like, what are you talking about? I start talking to them. Like, within about 10 minutes, I'm doing someone's short film. Someone wants me to do the face of his new cricket game that he's invented going to the Kmart stalls. And he wants me to be the face of the new cricket game that he's convinced me is... And to be fair, about 6 months later, I did see it in Kmart. But yeah, it was
and
hilarious.
Who was the face of it?
I can't remember. Probably Vince. It's like the Woody Allen vodka ad. But and then we were sitting around one day with the extras and the lighting guy. We're talking about 80s bands. And the lighting guy goes...
Well, that's your specialist.
Yeah,
subject.
The lighting guy goes, I was the original drummer in Pseudo Echo. I'm
really?
Like, get out. You were the original drummer in Pseudo Echo.
On the hexagonal drums.
Yes, on the electronic drums. And then this kid, this extra goes, Daryl Cotton is my dad.
Oh, wow.
He's trumped everyone.
Oh, my God.
Sure enough, Daryl Cotton came in and picked him up.
Because the extras, it's incredibly bitchy, backstabby kind of world, the extras.
Oh, it's a weird place.
Because on librarians, you know, there was always extras in the library.
Yeah.
And you just put them in at random. And, of course, the idea is that you might be cutting to later that day, so you can't have the same extra. You know, you have to move them around.
Yeah,
I
remember,
you know, you'd hear someone on the lunch table going, yeah, well, I don't know how he got moved up to the... What was he doing in the reference section? That guy's not reference section material.
And did you... You directed a few Upper Middle Bogans, didn't you?
I did...
Did you direct one or... How many did you direct?
I directed six Upper Middle Bogans.
Six?
I wrote three and directed six. And I got to direct the three that I wrote.
That is a great show. I love that show.
Yeah.
You know why I love that show? Because it plays into all my class obsessions.
Yes.
So because I came from a Wheeler family.
Sure.
And now I live in the inner city with people like the architect and...
Yeah, right.
See, I don't know any of their names. I just know the actors, the Patrick Bramall family. But I absolutely love Upper Middle Bogan.
Well, I think before...
I've watched every episode.
Wow. Well, the one that I wrote and directed that people liked the most was the one where they went to small...
Yes. So. And wasn't there a big problem getting a restaurant to be a small
piece? Oh, man, because once you've got the word Bogan in the name of your show, no one wants you to film there.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't get any restaurant chain to let us set up, because we're inventing... Here's the thing, right? Smorgies...
It's just Melbourne.
...is a real chain, a real chain in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And so...
But it's very common to... It's very similar to Sizzler, which is still going in some parts
Keg
of... Yeah, very similar to some parts of Australia, Sizzler.
Food Star. That's always... Food Star is often just in an old shop.
Yes, yes.
In front of it, like a travel agent.
But Sizzler's still going in Queensland.
Oh, it's like when you go to Darwin and, wow, there's Sanity. Remember we were...
Yes, we were in Darwin. We saw Sanity.
Have we gone through a time wormhole? But Smorgies, no one would let us film there. I remember we were set up to go at the Hog's Breath Cafe and then went, oh, no, we've changed our mind. And, but then someone said to me, but yeah, can you call it Smorgies? Because that's a real place. And
not anymore, though.
Well, that's the thing. Wayne Hope did an ATSIC search and not only had the last Smorgies burnt down in mysterious circumstances a couple of months before we started filming, no one had bothered to re-register the name.
Oh, fantastic.
So literally anyone could start up a Smorgies.
We should start a comedy room called Smorgies.
All you can
Dave O'Neill Smorgies, I love it.
All you can laugh.
So speaking of the ashes, is it true? Now, I think you told me this, that when the Swagman restaurant burnt down...
Yes.
When you were in the D-Gen...
Yes.
Did you do an OB from the ashes?
Yeah, that's right, because we had done
for people that don't know, the Swagman was the smorgasbord restaurant in the 70s in Melbourne.
Hang on a second. It has its own Wikipedia page because it is allegedly, or it was allegedly, the largest restaurant in the Southern Hemisphere. Oh. Now, think about that for a moment. That's like South America, Africa...
I remember going there as a kid, or even as a teenager, and we saw Danny Minogue and Kylie Minogue there with the young... And they got up and sang a song.
But it seated like 3,000 or something.
Oh, and the village people played there.
And when we did our OB, I remember our dressing room had a handwritten sign saying "Reserved for Bucks Fizz." But it was like... It was like, you know, the big raked space parliament from Phantom Menace. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
It was like sort of booths.
Yes.
And you'd be at the back and the stage was just a matchbox on the horizon. But it was massive and it had...
We used to love going there as kids. And what we would do, the guy would read out the birthdays and we'd always put our brother Mark in as being 4 years old.
Yeah, right.
So we'd go, oh, you got the birthdays. Oh, Mark O'Neill is 4 years old. And we'd all...
And a massive round of applause. Yeah. But they had the jingle, the
Smorgies Board that we're famous for.
But it burned down in, again, mysterious circumstances.
Yes.
As it says on the Wikipedia page.
I know, yes.
But about a month before it burned down, we did the Degeneration Breakfast Show, which was on Eon FM.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
We did it from the...
Were you the fat man?
I was the fat man.
Yeah, I used to listen to that.
I was the fat man for 5 years.
I listened to that before I got into comedy. I used to listen to that show. You know, go on.
Well, people will still yell fat man to me from a car, and that's a hard one to explain if I'm with some people. But so they got us to go there and do the breakfast show, and we told, but this is like 1987 or 88, and we said, come along dressed as the 70s. 3,500 people turned up.
Wow.
At like you know, 4 a.m, queuing to be on the show. I remember I sang, I rewrote Barry Manilow's Copacabana to be at the Swagman. Did this song. Molly Meldrum jumped up and I think duetted with me.
Really?
And then about a month, and it got all this publicity and it was such a mad idea. And then about a month later it burnt down. And as I remember it, yeah, we got into work and found out it had burnt down overnight. So we drove out there and stood there in the smoking embers.
Fantastic.
Doing an OB.
And that remember, is great.
And I always remember across the road, John Blackman was doing an OB from a car yard. And it was like two people.
Blackers.
That's right.
Blackers. Funny people yelling stuff out. I went on, Mick Malloy's doing a new show now on Triple M Drive.
Correct. Kennedy Malloy.
Kenny Malloy. And,
You know the funny thing about that? You know Jane Kennedy is 5 hours older than me?
Yeah, so we're all literally the same age. She's born in 65.
Well, no, she was born at 11 p.m. on the 9th of June, 1964.
Oh, 64.
And I was born at 4 a.m. on the 10th of June, 1964.
Wow.
So she's literally 5 hours older than me. So Mick has decided to go with someone older.
Oh, that's hilarious. But you know what someone texted or tweeted in? Yes. Just one word, sausages, they said to me.
Wow.
Which is from when I used to go on Martin Malloy.
That's right. You were on
Eric Banner's show.
Eric Banner's sketch show, which was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, it was good.
Really cool. Bob Franklin did some great material on there.
Oh, yeah.
Robin Butler was
Fred
in
Rowan.
It.
Fred Rowan. There was a lot of...
Roz Hammond.
Yeah, a lot of talent in there.
And there was a sketch. I can't remember what it was. It was like a share house sketch. And there was just...
No, it was Real Estate Agent, wasn't it?
Was it
an auction?
Wasn't it a guy? Didn't you work in a shed? You were a guy.
I lived in a shared house. Yes, and I had the curly hair, and I spoke like that.
And for some reason, there was just one episode where they cut to you, and you just went
sausages.
Yeah. And we bagged that clip up, and we pitched that as like a Logie nominee for best actor.
That's right.
And we wanted them to just show that one word clip,
sausages.
And then we got what happened. We sent you to the Logies.
I went to the Logies, and I got celebrities to say sausages.
That's right.
And I said to Steve Bisley, I thought he was Jack Thompson. I said, Jack, can you say sausages? And he goes, oh, is it for Martin Malloy, is it? And then Roy and HG's.
You're going to cause the same trouble all over again because...
It wasn't Roy and HG.
No, you went up to Roy and HG and someone who you described on our show as Roy's wife...
Had a go at me about Martin Malloy.
And said, you tell Martin Malloy that they should be paying HG and Roy royalties because they've stolen everything they ever did.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And Roy ran into the toilets and hid.
Yes.
And then we found out a year later it wasn't Roy's wife or John Doyle's wife. It was the wife of a man who only just died a month ago, David Lyle.
Yes, the Channel 9 executive.
That's right, who had was the executive who said The Late Show would never work. He was the executive in charge of The Late Show.
Yeah.
We did 5 pilots for it at Channel 9. He went, well, this simply isn't working.
Oh,
and
God.
And showed us the door. And then I think he hooked up with HG and Roy, and his wife was furious with
us. She had a go at me. Yeah, the Logies.
But I have to say, Dave, not a week went by when you didn't cause some trouble on Martin Malloy, because I remember you would come on and constantly tell defamatory stories about
David Strassman.
David Strassman, the ventriloquist.
Yes.
And I remember every time you would come in, you'd go, well, I've been thrown off another tour.
Yeah. He said to me, hey, Dave, I hear you've been ruining the magic.
What was the magic, by the way?
Well, I just had stories about him, and the stories were just him about... There was one where there was a fight. The weirdest one was when he invited the whole crew to go out to a strip joint for his birthday. I didn't actually go, but all the crew went. And a woman, and he was married to a model, Tina, and a girl came out in a cat costume, took off all her clothes, she had a cat mask on, then revealed herself to be Tina, Strassman's wife.
How disturbing.
But he used to make the puppets come alive. He there was a fight one night when so there was a group from a paper mill in. It was because he did Christmas.
Yeah.
A Christmas season. And they were making a lot of noise. He went, hey, shut up down there. And they said, you know, fuck off, you Yankee bastard or whatever. And he said, come up here and see that. And of course, they just went, oh, okay. And they walked on stage and he ran into the dressing room, and the roadie ran on and pushed this guy into the crowd.
And was the dinosaur puppet still working?
Yeah, still. The other one was when he had Teddy Bear, and Teddy Bear was, he used to be having a robot claw, yes. And he was doing a kid's show, and Teddy Bear leaned too forward and fell off the claw into the audience.
Oh, no.
And there was just his robot claw, and all the kids went, ah!
Well, I remember you spoiled that magic, and you also revealed that he was wearing a hairpiece.
Yeah, he wore a wig. Hang on, we're on the debriefer. Tony Martin. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. Back on The Debrief with Tony Martin, the comedy legend, and I ask these questions to everyone, Tony. So what went well tonight and why, you think?
Well, we were doing a gig in McKinnon.
McKinnon Hotel.
And it was only a couple of blocks from the shop Stacks of Slacks that we did.
Can't believe you noticed. How did you know that?
Well,
Did you drive past that?
Well, because I have, as you know, I'm walking every street in Melbourne, so I have
walked. Have you walked past that?
Yeah, I've done every bit of that area, both sides.
I know, and you've walked past my house, I know.
And
I've seen you walking.
That's right. You're one of the only three people that in 9 years of attempting to walk. This is something I do. Me and my girlfriend, every morning, we walk for an hour. We're slowly walking every street in Melbourne, and people are like,
It's been on the news.
It's right. It's legitimate. And what celebrities have you bumped into? And it's Dave O'Neill, Declan Fay.
Oh, wow.
And
we live near each other.
David Cameron, who was
not the Prime Minister of England.
No, David Cameron, who was the underground mechanic in the first Mad Max with Steve Bisley, in fact.
Oh, wow.
But, we've walked the streets of... I'm trying to think where exactly Stacks of Slacks is. Is that Ormond or Bentley?
It's somewhere around there. It's near McKinnon.
That's right.
What suburb are you up to now? What rough area?
We're at Sandringham in that direction.
Oh, wow.
We're at Chadston in that direction. Oh, wow. Box Hill, Coburg, and Moonee Pond. So we're slowly... Because we're going in... We've got three or four fronts going at any one time.
Have you discovered any patterns in suburbia that has surprised you?
Well, I've noticed weird kind of trends that people are getting into, like faux rusty letterboxes is a big thing at the moment. Every street has a fake rusty letterbox. The saddest thing is just seeing beautiful old California bungalows being torn down and shithouse putty coloured apartments being put up. And that's
strip shopping. I bet you see some great strip shopping.
Oh, beautiful.
And some just closing down strip shopping.
I love strip shopping.
Yes, so do I.
And you just, all we see is video shops.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see a Video Easy and you go, oh, look, there's a Video Easy. And then you'll go there and it's empty and there's just a single standee of Damon Wayans just fluttering in the breeze.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was hilarious when you mentioned that. And what didn't go well tonight? It was just a very good gig, actually.
Well, what didn't go well for me is that I mistakenly said, is this Bentley? Not realising that McKinnon is a kind of mini suburb within, I guess, halfway between Ormond and Bentley.
Yeah.
And I sort of, you know, slightly offended people by not realising McKinnon was a suburb. And it wasn't until I got off stage that I realised my family name is McKinnon.
Yeah, you should have mentioned that.
That is the Martins. The McKinnons married into the Martins. But my grandparents were McKinnon and we go back several generations.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
I don't think so.
There was a dance floor, which was weird.
That's always good, because there's a sort of a little kind of gulf of syndrome between you and the audience, and you go, well, people are going to get... No one's going to dance, but it's a good room.
It's an absolute cracker of a room.
And I love someone came up to me afterwards and he goes, it's great that we got comedy in McKinnon now, because now I never have to leave McKinnon.
Fantastic.
Really?
Everything you need in McKinnon. There's no beach, by the way. It's close to the beach, but there's no beach. And how can we do better next time?
Well, I don't know if we can do better.
I reckon it was pretty good, actually.
It was actually a pretty good night, I think. I have to say, Dave, I am so used to doing gigs with you where you're hosting, like at your own funhouse. I hadn't actually watched you just do a set. It was fantastic.
Oh,
I mean, of course it's fantastic. People know you're fantastic.
No,
but I was watching it going... Hang on.
They're a good audience, though.
There has never been a Dave O'Neill special. There's never been an out. You've never done a stand-up album.
No.
Dave, there are comedians who are like 23 who have got, you know...
But why do you do an album?
Well, just to preserve the act.
It's true, because I watched myself on a show from 10 years ago, and there were jokes that I couldn't even remember writing or doing.
There you go.
So it's a good idea, actually.
Well, I think it's time for you to finally crack out the best hour you've ever done.
Yeah.
And get it down on tape, assuming there is still tape.
But so you just do it as an audio tape?
Well, no. Well, I do love a comedy album, but actually, you know, what were those things they did? Comedy Warehouse.
Yeah, you know, I never got asked to do them, but yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, they certainly came and watched me and went, nah.
Really?
Well, the thing about that is that they come and see a festival show where you're doing an hour that may include some highlights, but all your highlights. You know what I mean? Right. So you could do an absolute cracker of your best hour easily.
It's like there's a great album. One of my favourite comedy albums is by, you know, Paul F. Tompkins?
Yeah.
And he did an album called Impersonal. And what it was he just went back through his, like, 20-year career and just got all of his favourite bits and relearned them all.
That's a great idea.
It's a pain in the ass to have to dig them out and relearn them.
Yeah.
Do them again as though you're doing them for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, well, thank God he preserved all that gold.
Yeah, it's true, because you do forget your jokes, too. Yeah.
Well, I remember saying to Greg Fleet, I mean, I think he's now done a DVD of Tie Dye, but that's literally the only...
Yeah.
It's the only Fleety show you can find.
Yeah, you can find, yeah.
And I'm saying to him, you've got to get all the stuff from the 90s, and he goes...
I mean, he has some amazing routines.
He goes, I've never written any of it down.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where it is. He'll have to find Trev Hoare, who used to run the SB Comedy. He'll have to track him down and see if he's still got any of those old VHSs.
Just those legendary routines about... when his dad would drink drive and coming home and the car was upside down. I can't even remember the jokes.
I know. But... See, that's the problem. I think we all remember his act better than he
does. Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, we can finish up with a song. So what song should we play?
A song?
Yeah, I put a song on the end of the podcast. Any song. We should do some New Zealand. I had Cal Wilson on and we played The Chills.
Okay. Now, hang on a second. What about your brother's band?
Yeah.
Well, he was in a band...
The Hip Singles, mate.
What a name for a New Zealand band.
The Hip Singles.
The Hip Singles. Can we find something by the Hip Singles?
I wonder if they... Well, they're on YouTube.
Well, we need a second choice. If we can't find Hip Singles, I know you're a fan of the Dance Exponents.
Oh, I love the Dance Exponents.
Jordan Luck.
Jordan Luck, and he's still playing.
Yeah.
I'm just looking on my phone, seeing if the Hip Singles come up. Because Trevor, my brother, left his law degree to join a rock band in New Zealand, which is just hilarious.
And Dick Driver.
Dick Driver was the least. There's talk of a reunion, Tony.
With your brother in the classic lineup?
The classic lineup. No, it doesn't come up. No. Well, look, it'll either be the Hip Singles or the what Dance Exponent song?
What was that song? Did they have one called Expectations? Oh, no, was that an album?
I reckon that was their album.
God.
I'll Say Goodbye Even Though I'm Blue. Oh, Victoria.
It had a name.
Presby Answered was the album.
Sex and Agriculture.
Yeah, Sex and Agriculture was when they moved to Australia.
That's a pretty good song.
That's got that great guitar.
It's like a 12-inch single.
Look at these songs. I'll Say Goodbye. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They like New Zealand's Cold Chisel. Everyone knows these songs, don't
that's
they?
That's right.
All I Can Do.
Most people listening to this podcast will not know what we're talking about.
Who cares? Fantastic.
All right, closing with some Kiwi music.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for coming on, Tony. Of course, people can find Tony on Twitter.
At MrTonyMartin.com.
And just follow that because you're...
Sorry, it's Mr. Tony Martin. There's no .com on Twitter. What am I saying?
And the sitcom will be out soon as a podcast.
Childproof, it will.
Childproof. It's a great name.
And there's a book coming out called... called Deadly Kerfuffle.
Oh, I love your first book. Was fantastic. In fact, I think I've got it in the car. My wife found it in the op shop.
Lolly Scramble.
Lolly Scramble was that the one where you tell the story on the bus?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was on that was when I migrated from Brisbane to Melbourne and turned an entire bus against me because there was a row about what movie we were going to watch.
That's right.
And I wanted to watch Spinal Tap, and everyone else on the bus voted for Six Pack with Kenny Rogers. And I was nearly asked to leave the bus. while it was moving.
That is a great book too, and that's still available too, isn't it?
I think it's only available in e-form now. So
still get onto it.
But it was in print for 12 years, so that was quite good.
We could keep talking, but you've got to go.
Yes, I've got to get up and do Nova
to entertain my son.
I've got to go and pretend I know something about Ed Sheeran. Dave, thanks for having me.
No worries, Tony. Good work.
Love the podcast. Cheers.
Good work. Thanks.